to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with John English, the immediate past chairman of the International Gaming Standards Association, to talk about his crowning achievement, an IGSA event being held in Las Vegas in March. The GGB podcast is sponsored by IGT's Money Mania, the fast-awarding linked jackpots that have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressive to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. The International Gaming Standards Association is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, and to mark that milestone, they are holding the IGSA Technology Summit, with a focus on sports betting, cashless transactions, and protecting the data amassed by casinos both online and offline. John English just completed a two-year stint as chairman of the IGSA and explains why the conference is focusing on each of these areas and why the IGSA sessions will be different than any other conference. The summit is being held at the historic Italian-American Club in Las Vegas on March 15th through 16th. To register for the summit, visit gamingstandards.com/events. English, who is also a partner with Global Market Advisors, spoke with me in a conference room at the Ellis Island Casino in Las Vegas, one of his clients, in February. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is John English, the chairman of the International Gaming Standards Association. John, thanks for joining us. We've done podcasts in the past, but we're going to be specific this year.
Great. Always great to be with you, Roger. Great. Yeah, thanks for having me as well.
So, and you've been chairman of the IGSA for about a year now, right?
Yeah.
And uninformed, I mean, it's 25 years old this year, right?
It is. It's pretty exciting. A 25-year-old organization, you know, benefiting the industry, which has been great.
Right.
And a lot of work. I've done a lot of effort that's been put into the standards, you know, and we've had some great members over the years as well. So it's been a big honor to be able to be with them, especially during this anniversary time. So it's a
so for those
exciting.
Those that haven't been paying attention, I mean, give us an idea of how and why IGSA was formed and what was your mission.
Yeah, so the mission is to better the industry through regulations and through standards, you know. So by developing things that have been really helpful, like G2S, where systems are able to communicate better with each other and that be able to publish those standards and make them available to other members of the industry, it makes it a little bit easier for everybody to be able to talk to one another and to have devices talk to one another. So, the mission has been over the many years that 25 years that the organization's been putting together, it gets better and better and better each year.
Sure.
And coming up, we got some pretty exciting things we'll talk about here.
So I remember in the early days, a slot machine, it was either a 2 or 3 wire machine where if you were connected to an IGT system or a Scientific Games or a Bally system in those days, you had to have a whole separate wire to go from one machine to the other. And that was one of the first things that GSA solved, right?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things that they solved, yeah.
Right.
And, through that process, it was the organization was founded by Peter Durrott, and we were fortunate enough to attract people like Mark Pace, and we have Earl Hall, who is recently, I think, in
he's
one of your podcasts,
chairman, right?
He's vice chair, and we've got some really great members that have really contributed a lot to make it a very strong organization, and of course, we couldn't do it without our members. We have, some very strong members that are been with us for a long time. We have the IGTs, the Aristocrats, a lot of the manufacturers, Konami's a lot of the big manufacturers that are out there,
right,
and without them we couldn't do it.
Yeah, no question.
So I was on the website the other day and looking at the different things you've done, and there's well over a dozen, you know, very technical things that you've done. And you know, without getting too technical, I mean, explain, you know, how it's gone beyond that 2 and 3 wire thing, even to things that are more complicated these days.
Well, these days we're facing a lot. It's a whole new world, right?
Right, sure.
So you know, this year we're going to really focus on some of the problems that, not only problems, but where the growth sectors are.
Right.
So we're going to cover sports betting this year, because obviously sports betting, not only just being the big buzz right now, I mean, everybody's talking about sports betting. It's a growth market, probably fastest growing market in gaming right now in the United States. So with that being said, there really wasn't a standard for sports betting for GSA. So that's been a big focus of ours, working on all the new standards to put in place where sports devices are able to communicate better with other sports devices and with the associated equipment that goes along with it.
Right.
So for us, sports betting is our top priority for the show this year. And then the big one, which a lot of people are talking about, is cashless wagering, cashless gaming, if you will. And you know, there's a lot of new things that are coming out with regard to that. And I think you've seen most people who are following the industry have seen that John Akers, along with Sightline and everybody, are putting together a cashless component that they are planning on really being a dominating force.
Right.
And then even with our own group, you know, where there's stuff like marker tracks.
Right.
You can actually get credit, digitally credit now, so you'll be able to use credit for sports betting.
Right.
Being in the sports betting business for as long as I have, the problem was always the offshore bookmakers offer credit.
Right.
So and we didn't have that here. So this is it's a really nice addition to, I think, sports betting and technology. And there's a lot of technology involved. The company's called Marker Tracks, and so it has its own wallet, has its own ability to be able to issue credit, does quick credit check and everything.
Right.
And you can play now and pay later.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then the biggest one, I think, and the one that's probably the most problematic that we're seeing, is we're going to be talking about cyber risk this year.
Yeah.
And cyber risk really means is, you know, a lot of people talk about cybersecurity. You know, you heard that word all the time, you know, cybersecurity. In my opinion, and, you know, I think it's a well-formed opinion based on what we've seen lately, there is no such thing as cybersecurity.
Right.
I mean, there is no security whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is you can manage your risk and know where you stand, whether you're carrying enough insurance, whether you're carrying enough, you know, whether you're willing to manage that risk or carry the risk on your own. And the way that's done is measured through dashboards and a lot of information that's input through the system, because not all of it is technical. I mean, it is a lot of it's technical, but you also have the executive that will click on an email, and the next thing you know, you're wiped out. So that's something that we're very interested in for our topics for this year. We're having our summit this year here in Las Vegas, and we plan to bring in some really big people from the financial world, as well as not just gaming people. Because, you know, Bank of America just disclosed they've been hit, and some very large companies like DraftKings, FanDuel, you know, even the big ones, you know, that are at MGM. There's a lot of them that have been out publicly that have had to come out and say, hey, listen, we've got an issue, we've been hacked.
I think I've gotten 2 or 3 of those emails.
It's happening every day. It's frustrating, and you know, it's something that, you know, like I said, there's really not security. So what can you do to limit your risk?
Right.
You know, so there's some technology that's available now that allows you to take a look at a simple dashboard. And in the sports betting business too, we're used to looking at dashboards, You wake up in the morning, you take a look at how much risk you've got out there, what kind of bets you've got out, how much money you have out. This is just another dashboard that says, look at, you know, you've got so many people working from home now, working off of laptops, these things right here, the smartphones and everything else, they all present a risk. And something even further, which is IoT, you know, Internet of Things, mm-hmm. which is what we all live on nowadays. Sure, we were talking about earlier, we were talking about how a breach happened through the thermostat that controlled the fish tank at one of the casinos. Yeah. And of course, people have Alexa and people have all the various aspects and talking with one of the CTOs at a major casino here, and even the ovens in the kitchen are all connected to the internet now. Yeah. So there's a way, and there's definitely a lot of open doors in almost every casino. So
the summit's going to be held, what are the dates in March?
Yeah, it's March 15th and 16th at the historic Italian-American Club, really excited about that because that's kind of a first.
That club goes way back, to the 50s, I guess.
It does. There's a lot of history there. And, of course, it's a beautiful showroom, and it'll mm-hmm. be great. The food will be wonderful, and it's going to be a great show. And it's something different than having it in your typical casino ballroom. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we've been doing that for years and years. You go to a casino or you go to a big ballroom and you have the show. This will give a little more color and bring a lot of history into it.
You did that also in Reno a few years ago when you had a conference in one of the art galleries.
We did. We had it in a museum. Yeah. That was pretty interesting up in Reno.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
That was interesting too. It's good to have stuff that also interests people and gives them another reason to come and enjoy the conference. It's 2 days of conference discussing those three topics. Mm-hmm. We think those are very pressing topics for what's happening in the industry today. But to do it in a nice setting will also make it nicer.
So let's talk about the sports betting, for example. There's a couple of big companies that have sports betting platforms that offer all kinds of different things on it. I mean, there's Kambi, there's IGT, there's BetConstruct, and probably half a dozen more. Do they talk to each other at all? I mean, can you take a module from one and put it on another?
Not easily.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I mean, they do and they don't. I mean, there's obviously a certain amount of competition between all the different groups. Right. So everybody wants to have something a little different. But the big things that are out there that you're starting to see that are more common these days are early cash out, things along those lines, which is now pretty common. Whereas before you'd only see it on a platform or two. Now it's more of a common aspect of things. Payment processing has gotten easier. You got groups like Pay Near Me where you can go to a 7-Eleven or a grocery store and deposit with cash and get a little code and then put that code in and you'll be able to play with that. But amongst platform to platform, they don't really talk to each other that well. Right. So it's either you pick one or you pick the other. Yeah. That's typically the way it's been.
But as you mentioned, there's all these module payment processing data, the data that comes in from about all sporting events, geolocation, mm-hmm. I mean, can they plug into each of these platforms separately?
They can for the most part. You'll see that as we've talked over the many years, it's not just about taking a bet. We all know that. Right. Taking a bet is the old school bookie way. And I make a bet and we shake hands and we have a bet. It's not that simple, especially when you're working in all these various jurisdictions, especially Nevada being one, and some of the other places, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. Technology plays a huge role. Geolocation plays a huge role, right? So they want to make sure we have something here in the United States which they don't have to deal with in Europe, which is the Wire Act. Can't place bets across state lines, so we got to make sure that you're geolocated within that specific region. And now even working in Indian country and tribal properties, some don't want to have mobile at all. They want you on property. Mm-hmm. And for the sake of the conversation, mobile is where the money's at, when we first came out with mobile wagering and got it approved here in Nevada, it changed everything for us. Yeah. It really did. But it's not just taking a bet over a phone. You got to geolocate it. You got to make sure the KYC is done and the person's over 21. Right. It's password secured. Various technologies that are there.
There's a double indemnity type of thing where you have to... every time you sign in, you have to send them a code saying it's you.
That's right. Double form of verification. Yeah, of course. And, you know, another thing about sports betting that people don't realize, too, is, and particularly here in Nevada, is there's reserve requirements, you know, where it's not only just technical, you also have to have a large bankroll on top of a large bankroll. Right. And what I mean by that is if you have a dollar in the cage, you have a dollar out on the bet, you actually have to have $2.
Right.
And $1 to pay the customer in case the customer wins, and the second dollar to be at a dual signature with the Nevada Gaming Control Board or with the authorities in case there's a dispute or if there's ever a problem. So bankroll still plays a big part of sports betting along with technology as well.
Non-stop thrills meet fast-awarding jackpots. Money Mania keeps hitting, now with over 250 jackpots awarded. IGT has expanded the Money Mania portfolio by adding two more themes. All four themes now feature two wide-area progressive jackpot levels, an in-game player awareness messaging, an exciting look and respin jackpot bonus, and a bank-wide wheel bonus. These games are built for long play sessions and maximum excitement. Get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information.
So you also mentioned hacking. I mean, hacking is a big issue, as you mentioned. I mean, it just seems to be happening every day here. And the fact that there are so many ways, you know, for a hacker to get in. Now, we know that they've taken a lot of this data, but have they actually done anything with it yet? Anything really damaging at this point?
There has been some damage, of course. You know, I mean, and it's not just gaming. You know, it's happening everywhere. There was this big hack recently called the Somerset hack, where they were able to get into 1,000 clinics and be able to get everybody's health information, most likely, you know, all their home information, their social security information, and their health records. Okay, so that's serious stuff. And of course, we've seen the meltdowns at the airports happen those are scary, very scary things, you know. And it's also real scary when your casino gets shut down too, because there's a lot of investors, a lot of people there. And, you know, for the most part, you know, it's, have they been able to do stuff with it? Yeah, there's been a recent release that was out there where some of the, we won't mention names, but one of the major casinos that operates around the country here, around the world actually, had their data not only stolen, but it was on the black market and for sale up for Bitcoin.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, it's... yeah, that's why it can be widely available and it needs to be well protected, and that's not always the easiest thing to do in today's day and age.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And when you talk about cashless, it's almost the same situation as the sports betting. You know, you have a company like Sightline, Global Payments, PaySafe. I mean, there's at least two dozen payment companies. And how can a operator understand, you know, what, you know, which platform to use? I mean, I know John Akers is trying to make his open to all kind of information.
Sure, and even Earl, our vice chairman at IGSA is working on cashless as well. You know, there's no safe way, obviously, to be able to do everything perfectly safe. We do, but there are things like blockchain where you can, you know, add another layer of being able to track where things go and be able to monitor things a little better, and obviously have a ledger that you actually made that deposit and that deposit exists. There's also another side of that coin where a lot of sports bettors don't want anything on a ledger, especially in the old days. It's nobody wanted anything on any books, right? It was a cash society, but that's all moved away, and now cashless is where it's at. So, you know, protecting that, protecting how do you pick one? You know, you pick what's best for you, right?
Yeah.
For instance, you know, a group like a Sightline or a PayNearMe. I like the idea of PayNearMe because you can deposit cash into a mobile phone. You can't slide cash into a phone, so that makes life easy and also adds a level of privacy to a certain extent. And then on the other side, of course, it's expensive. payment processing can be quite expensive. So, you pick for the cost. You also pick for the what you can get for those costs. In other words, some will only process certain types of companies. And gambling has, for a long time, been considered a high-risk business.
Sure.
So, there's certain groups that specialize in gaming. And that's pretty much where you find your dominant groups, like the Acres or the Sight Lines and everything. They're having a lot of success there.
For sure. Yeah. Everybody's got a wallet as well.
Yeah.
Is there any chance we're ever going to get one wallet that you can access from any of these?
We sure hope so. Yeah. And I think that there's been some efforts made even here with our small group here. Watching what Marker Trax has done with Coin and building one single wallet for everything. I think is brilliant. I think there will come a point where there's always going to be some sort of preference, I believe, but I do think that's technically it's available and it can be done. And when you have an account with a particular sports book, that is kind of your wallet.
Yeah.
So, for instance, it is a wallet. When I open an account, with William Hill or Caesars or any of the other big brands that are out there, Stations, anybody along those lines, that account is secured as much as you can. You fill out a form. You've got your information. You fund your account. You can fund your account with cash at a kiosk or over the counter. In some states, they allow you to fund it with a credit card.
Sure.
Here, you at least have to go one time to open an account. But that account becomes their one single wallet. Will it be for every sports book? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
They like to have their individual accounts, and I think gaming also likes to have that gaming control, I should say, also likes to have that level of being able to audit each and everybody's accounts.
Okay. So we mentioned the conference we had in Reno a few years ago, and it was all about blockchain. And I was totally confused when I went in. I was still confused when I came out.
You weren't alone.
And it doesn't sound like there's been a lot of movement in that in terms of gaming, anyway. Is there any discussions to be able to use that technology, in a safe way?
Yeah. Well, it's. I look at it a little differently than some others might. Especially when we had that conference up in Reno, it was about blockchain and blockchain and artificial intelligence and all the aspects of technology. I look at blockchain as another form of technology. It's another way of securing your data. It's another way of being able to track it, keep ledgers for being able to do things. I find blockchain interesting in the way of logistics, like when the vaccine first came out. For the pandemic anyway, when the vaccines came out, I thought the blockchain was a great way to be able to track where the vaccine started, where it was manufactured, how it was distributed, where it's been. So a lot of logistics involved. I think that blockchain is fabulous for logistics and things along those lines. But I also just look at it as another level of technology.
Yeah.
I don't find it to be that exciting. Although we did have a whole conference about it, I didn't find it to be exciting. Another thing where you got a bunch of techie guys going, hey, there's a better way. And that's like somebody coming to you and saying, hey, we got a better software to build on, whether it's Unity or C++ or any other type of technology that's out there. Blockchain adds another layer on top of that technology. Yeah. And I think it's obviously good to have more technology than less, but in some cases. And in this case, there hasn't been, a huge adoption in indie gaming. I mean, a lot of people will say, we built our platform on the blockchain now, and it's become where it once was the buzzword, because we do have those buzzwords, blockchain was a big one, and then our AI and artificial intelligence, and then it's metaverse,
server-based
gaming, cashless is a big buzzword, sports betting is a big buzzword now.
Right. So that kind of leads us to Bitcoin. I mean, yeah. And we've seen tremendous fall in the value of Bitcoin. And at this point, it feels like, well, good thing gaming didn't get involved in that. Where do you see that going?
Well, I had fear of missing out. I had a bit of FOMO, so I'm crying inside right now because the price is volatile, as we all know, right? So the price goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down, and of course you have to convert right when you get it, especially if you're taking it in terms of gaming. Mm-hmm. But we have not seen the adoption of it here in the U.S. Offshore books have been using Bitcoin for quite some time and other types of cryptocurrencies. Got to a point, Roger, where, again, another big buzzword, there's conventions, there's shows, there's everything. And it also got to a point there was a coin for everybody, and everybody had one. There was a Roger coin, there's a John coin, there's a Tom coin, a Frank coin, and, everybody had a coin. Yeah. And now you see it narrowed down to the big ones, like Bitcoin and Ethereum and stuff. The coin has some sort of utility behind it, and it has to have some functionality behind it. But we've been very slow to adopt it into gaming for many reasons.
Understandably, because you can really use that to mask who's making the buy or the sell.
You can.
I mean, I understand why the regulators are very reluctant to even consider that.
Yeah, it's understandable, and it's also although we being in the gambling business, we want to be able to take payments in any possible way that you can to make it convenient for the customer. We've always been about convenience. Okay. And, going back to the older days, we've been doing this a long time. The older days, the convenience was going to the counter and placing cash over a computer system. And computer systems didn't exist. It was a whiteboard or a chalkboard and what have you. And then the kiosk came about, and that was a convenient way to be able to deposit money and place bets. Sure. And of course, mobile changed the world. And then, we definitely saw the value. But being able to use Bitcoin on mobile or anything that's been regulated here in the States has been very, it's been frowned upon.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So, what do you think should attend your conference in March? Is it manufacturers, operators, or
it's a mix of both, of all, actually. It's usually it's more of a C level or a SVP type level of a show, fairly high level group of people that we get, but absolutely it should be technologists from each side of the industry. I think that this year we're going to see a lot of people that have interest in what's happening with cyber because it is in the headlines constantly. Sure. Sports betting is obviously in the headlines every day and constantly, and so is cashless. So, for those that are interested in any of those or adding those to their products, I think they should not only attend, but we also do have a lot of regulators that come in attendance. We formed an alliance with IAGRA, which is International Association of Gaming Regulators, and so we do have a fair amount of regulators that will be joining. It's going to be an interesting show because we have a lot of very high level speakers.
Sure.
So I think that the people will come wanting to hear what's really happening and how to manage cyber risk is going to be a big one.
Sure.
Cashless is something that we've been talking about for a while, but it's really starting to take off.
Sure.
I think there'll be a lot of interest there. And of course, sports betting, there's a lot of conferences on sports betting right now, but I think we're going to get very granular and talk about issues in sports betting and how to make things a little easier to work together.
Sure. And we've got some of these issues already with sports betting that a lot of people are saying it's not fulfilling what you wanted to do. The advertising is being criticized already. And we've already seen bans going on in Europe. How should we address that so that we don't have to get behind the eight ball with sports betting? Do we have to clean it up very quickly here?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of taking itself, taking care of itself a bit here in Nevada for sure. I mean, you've got a lot of advertisements you're seeing, you know, the king of sports betting, right. And you see right. a lot of stuff like that. But we not as edgy as you would see in Europe. Right. And Europe was very careful. In yeah. fact, if you remember the old days, you couldn't even have a .com. It had to be .net.
Right.
And
.net right.
would
That's
then
right.
take you to a .com and,
That's right.
and move forward.
Page there.
Yeah, I think as long as you're cautious about problem gambling, and
yeah,
that you're not
exactly,
you know
yeah.
you're not making it a an issue that would you know cause anybody any harm or any ill will. I think so far we've done a fairly good job of advertising here in our state,
yeah.
and in others. I mean, you'll find some edgy commercials
yeah.
from time to time, but they all seem to be. Fairly reasonable. You know, we have our own slogan. You know, I told you what ours was, and you know, we think that's a little edgy in itself. So we just want to be careful and make sure that we're not upsetting problem gambling
sure.
issues anywhere along those
well,
lines.
Well, you know, we just saw Ohio launch on January 1st, and on January 2nd, they issued hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines to some of the operators there.
Instantly.
Yeah,
instantly. You know, so I mean, it is going to depend on how the public feel, and you know, of course, everybody's got a little bit of a different environment. You know, living in Las Vegas, I think we're used to seeing gambling gambling advertisements.
Sure, right.
I mean, if you go back to the older days, everybody would put up their hold and how much they would put on the slot machine to, or how much they would return back to you.
Right,
and we return more than this guy, and this guy returns more than that guy. And so, you know, we're kind of used to that. I think some states are a little shell-shocked because they're not used to having
We like to see that. I mean, even today on online slots, you can go click through and you can find the return to player. You know,
absolutely,
which is pretty nice to do. I think
there's another thing too that it's been an issue when it comes to marketing and advertising, which is couponing. I'm sure
everybody's
offering large amounts of money to sign up, and it got to the point where it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it got to a point to where they said, "Wait a minute, we can't afford to do this like
exactly,
this."
Right.
You know, so I don't know if you noticed recently, but you could see that the coupon has gotten a little bit more reasonable as to what can
be offered.
Yeah, but
then when you start using words like free bets and free money, that kind of thing, that's where the Ohio folks
had the issue, And I can see that because, you know, that's just, you know, again, we're used to that. They're not, you know, and there is a lot of competition right now in terms of some of these states and what they're fighting for.
Right.
You know, I think Las Vegas, Nevada in general, I'd say, you know, we have a lot of competition here as well, but we've kind of settled into it. You get you do get a fair amount of couponing, but they become more reasonable with what they're offering.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So where can people learn more about the gaming summit that you guys are putting
in? Yeah, definitely on the website, igsa.org.
Okay.
So definitely, I would if you have interest, we'd like to have everybody register sooner than later. It's coming up pretty quickly. Also, we're going to be doing some advertising. We're doing some advertising with Global Gaming Business with you, and we'll be doing a lot of social media over time. And also, we're dependent a lot upon our speakers, you know, utilizing things with their own social media, like LinkedIn and some advertising for themselves. And then IGSA, over the last 25 years, has built a brand for itself and a database. So we'll be reaching out to everybody. But the easiest way to register and the easiest way to do it is to go to IGSA.org and register on the website.
Okay, great. Well, John, good luck on the show. I know it's going to be a success. If it's anything like the Reno one was a few years ago, I think it's going to be great. And also, being at the Italian American Club, what a draw that is.
It's going to be exciting. A lot of history, good food. Thanks, Roger.
Okay, thanks, John.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. Yes.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where money mania is fast awarding. Link jackpots have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with the IGT top performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide area progressive to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. To learn more about technology and the importance of identical standards, visit GGBmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGD News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggdnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.